healing. Healing is always such an intriguing topic, and we get very intrigued with it when we really need it. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Houston, Texas. Started hearing the gospel when I was 5. That was when my father came to know Christ, and we began attending worship. And I didn't hear a lot about healing in that Southern Baptist church. I heard a lot about the atonement and the powerful work in the shed blood of Christ in bringing about our atonement for sin and putting us in right relationship to the Father. I remember sometime in teenage years, I had some Methodist friends. They knew a whole bunch of different hymns than I had grown up with as a Baptist. One of them was a Wesleyan composition called Arise, My Soul, Arise. And one of the verses, one of the later verses of that hymn, some of the Wesleyan hymns had quite a number of verses, actually. But one of the, more than I was used to even as a Baptist, one of those verses in the hymn, Arise, My Soul, Arise, went this way. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry. Don't let that ransomed sinner die. When I first heard the words to that hymn, I was stirred deeply. Moved me powerfully, because I understood, having heard the message about the atonement and the role that the blood of Jesus Christ played in that equation. Well, also sometime in those early teenage years, I heard some sermon from someone, and I can't remember exactly when, seemed like he was a Latino preacher, preaching on the Hebrew notion of salvation. And he actually quoted the verse of Scripture, by his stripes we are healed, of course evoking the image of the shed blood of Christ. And in talking about healing, he sort of exploded that for me and talked about how in Hebrew thought, there was a more holistic approach to the notion of wholeness. And whatever that Hebrew word that was used, that was translated healing there, implied a very holistic concept of salvation, health, wholeness, deliverance, well-being. And my understanding of what the blood of Christ actually bought for us began to grow even more so. Jesus healed so often. And it's intriguing, as we follow through the gospel narratives, we find that there are two, there may be others, but there are at least two very apparent reasons, motivations for his healing. His acts of healing. One was simply compassion and mercy. He cared about people that were sick. He cared enough about them to reach out and touch them where they were hurting, even sometimes where it was very frighteningly contagious, but would reach out and touch them in their sickness, in their hurting, in their bleeding, in their physical impairment, just out of mercy and compassion, to touch them and make them well and bring them comfort and relief. But also, he made it quite clear that he also was doing those healings to demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven was breaking in on the kingdom of this world. Jesus called those who followed him to continue the same thing. The end of the Gospel of Mark, these signs will follow you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Why? Out of mercy and compassion, and to demonstrate the continuing inbreaking of the kingdom on the kingdom of this world. And James's admonition in the epistle that we just heard a few minutes ago, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Get this laying on of hands. Get this anointing with oil. Continue this work of compassion. Continue this demonstration that the kingdom of heaven is breaking in. My journey, and I'll confess to you, I don't pretend to be a healer. Don't know that I have the gift of healing. But my journey in viewing healing, watching healing, and sometimes experiencing healing took me on an interesting path. In the 60s, as that teenager, who had grown up in the Southern Baptist Church, I began to have some friends in school and high school who were Pentecostals and Charismatics as that whole thing was beginning to break out. And I got fascinated with that. I started chasing that glory cloud, if you will, to see what was going on over there, and actually saw some people healed. People that actually seriously, miraculously got well when they were prayed for. In my early 20s, I ended up, through a strange set of circumstances, attending a pastor's lunch that happened once a month in the city of Parkersburg, West Virginia. These were some crusty old guys, some mainline Protestant guys that were pretty liberal in their theology, and they'd kind of seen it all, and they were discussing various things in this luncheon. And one, at this particular luncheon, this older Episcopal guy, priest, pretty liberal in his perspective, said, well, you know, the word healing came up. And he said, you know, we pray for the sick in our church for them to get well. And the Presbyterian and the Methodist and a couple other guys raised, really? Well, how did that come about? He said, well, somebody came and asked for us to pray for them one time. And he said, I was uncomfortable about it. And he said, that person opened up the scripture and showed me, well, look, Jesus did it, and it says that we should keep doing it. I need somebody to pray for me. I'm sick. And so he said, I couldn't figure out any reason why I could refuse it. So he said, we prayed for the person, and they got well. And he seemed pretty surprised about the whole thing. And he said, so what we started doing in our midweek Eucharist is we started including an opportunity for people to get prayed for. And he said, and you know what? We've been doing it several years. And he said, it's not infrequent that we see people miraculously get well. He said, sometimes they just get well. That was in the 70s. In the 80s, through an odd series of circumstances, I met John Wimber, who was the leader of the Vineyard Movement. And John was a very interesting fellow, and I kind of asked him one evening, I said, over some coffee, I said, John, tell me about why is it that sometimes we pray for people to get well, and they do? I can see that in Scripture, and then sometimes we pray for them, and they don't. What's that all about? Can you answer that? And John said, look, he said, it's kind of like what happens in a war. He said, you can win the war. He said, you can have the Normandy invasion. You can declare V-Day. You can, the treaties can be signed, but he said a lot of times there's still a lot of cleanup operation that has to be done. There are a lot of forces up there in the hills that don't know the war is over yet. And he said, you've got to view this era. He said, the eternal victory has been won by Jesus Christ on the cross. And he said, we're in the middle of the cleanup operation in being a part of that final overturning of the works of darkness that are so fully entrenched. And he said, there's still enemies in the hills, and we're having to be part of the cleanup operation. And one day the victory will be complete. I saw that one evening with John. I happened to walk into a service, and I'll be honest with you, it wasn't because at that stage that I was chasing a gift of healing or anything. I was in the music business, and I wanted to be his music publisher, quite frankly, but because he had some wonderful copyrights. But I was enjoying learning this side, viewing this side of what he was doing, and I walked into a service because I had a meeting with him afterward, and happened to walk in the back of the building, like where the doors would be there, and there were prayer stations around the room where they were praying for different people. And I happened to walk in right beside a woman who, I'm going to guess she was about 65, who was being prayed for, and he was standing there praying for her. And he said, ma'am, how can I pray for you? They introduced themselves. How can I pray for you? And she said, well, about 40 years ago, through an accident, I lost the sight in my right eye. I've been completely blind in my right eye for over 40 years. And she said, I can deal with it, but I sure would love to see out of my right eye again after all these years. And he prayed a very simple prayer for her. Father, please touch her and restore sight to this blind eye. And it was miraculously restored on the spot. Well, you can imagine her. I mean, she was just overwhelmed. John, as childlike as he was in his faith, it was amazing. He began, literally, he was like at a football game. He said, you really can see? You can see? You can see out of that eye? 40 years? You can see? And the childlikeness of her faith and the childlikeness of his faith were so invigorating to me and so renewing to me. But I was talking with my friend Bob Weber, one of the ones who we're going to be praying for tonight, and one who invited me, got me involved in the service. And Bob had said, he joked with me, and he said, I've been bragging that I've about Jim and me, so I've got a couple of big gun healers coming to town to pray for us. And I misquoted something Bob has said a number of times over the years. I misquoted back to him. Now, the way he says it, he says about himself, I'm not a very deeply spiritual man. I'm not a man of great faith, not much of a praying man. But then he's quick to add, I know a very deeply spiritual man. I know a man of great faith. His name is Faithful and True. I know a man who is deep in prayer, praying for us all the time, and I am baptized into him. Well, I'm not a big gun healer. neither is Jim Hart. But we know one who is, and we are baptized into him, and so are you. And he promises that anytime two or three people gather in his name, there he will be in the midst of them. We're going to anoint with oil this evening, physical oil that we've prayed over and asked the Lord to be with us in this oil when we anoint. As we put physical oil on our sisters and brothers' foreheads and pray for them, the unction oil of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He brings healing. As we touch with our hands, those nail-pierced hands reach out and touch through our hands. Those hands that bear bleeding wounds, that just like they bled on Mount Calvary, today they continue to bleed effectual prayers. They're pouring out prayers for us. He prays for us unceasingly. And as we touch with our hands, he touches with his hands, and those effectual prayers are poured out. Then we'll come to the table, and we will, with broken bread and a shared cup, we will experience his broken body and his poured out blood, where all of our healing is. He is the great physician. He is the sympathizing Jesus. He cares. He cared back then. He cares now. And he reaches out to touch us. And you know what? Let's just believe him. With the childlike faith that that woman had who'd been blind for 40 years, with the childlike faith that John Wimber had that night, he does break through miraculously. Maybe some of us will get healed tonight. Some of us may not. Ultimately, we all find our wholeness, our deliverance, our well-being, our health in him. But some of us may get touched miraculously tonight, physically. He's done it before many, many times, time and time again. Why not now? In the name of Jesus. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of heavenly powers, by the might of your command, you drive away from our bodies all sickness and all infirmity. Be present in your goodness with these your servants, that their weakness may be banished and their strength restored, that their health being renewed, they may bless your holy name and give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.